Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, folks, super excited to be joined by some very, very, very special guests. Will, Jacob, these are some coworkers of mine that we have lived and served together in the same city for the past several years. But particularly, in addition to just being brothers and friends, we have been walking together in basically an accountability group. And so for the past 3 years or so, been meeting together weekly, kind of the main principle as we think about an accountability group, but the main focus of our time together is walking in the light. And so we'll talk through a little bit how we got to that point, but just that sharing our lives, sharing our hearts with each other, being able to walk in the light, to have that fellowship. I think our guiding verse has been something that we look at a lot. That is a part of our abiding teaching that we talk about from 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's what we've been doing together for the past 3 years. Guys, thanks for joining. Been looking forward to having this discussion with y'all.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to be on the pod, finally.
I know.
First time.
You guys.
First time long through.
Bucket list fulfilled for both of you. Mm-hmm. Life goal,
absolutely.
Life dream, yeah. Checked off.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this.
And you were hoping to use this as a launch into your own?
Later on, I'm going to be pushing my own podcast.
That's good.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Yeah.
Feel free, guys. Podcasts, books, whatever's out there. Feel free to drop that on here. All right. But that is the point. I think as we have talked about this, we have recognized the value of this group for us, what it has meant to us. I think at this stage of life, at this stage in our careers on the field, this I know for me, I think we've talked about this before, but for me, it's been a pretty unique thing. Shaney and I are close to 20 years on the field now. And it's really just been in the last three that I've had this level of walking in the light with other coworkers and other brothers. So let's maybe just start there and talk about what has this group meant to you. Again, for the listener, weekly meeting. We meet together. It's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours in the morning. We're usually reading a book together. Right now, we're reading Knowing God by J.I. Packer. We're memorizing some scripture together, working our way through 1 John right now. And then we just talk about the things that are going on in our lives and our families and our work and put things out on the table. Pretty good summary of what we do, right? So you guys talk about what has this meant for your own personal walk with the Lord, for what you feel like is even your fruitfulness and effectiveness on the field. Mm-hmm. What has this meant to y'all?
The team I was on was reading the book Lead by Paul David Tripp. And the premise of the book is even built out of leadership communities that are unhealthy. How he talks in there, if every meeting is a strategy meeting, all you do is talk about plans, goals, issues, problems, and that's all you ever do together. And you're never actually talking to the heart of in your community. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the issues he sees in the local churches. And so I remember as I was reading this book thinking, couldn't remember the last time I met with a group of guys where we talked about something other than work, business, vision, strategy, missions. And so it kind of like woke me up a little bit thinking like, I see myself going down the path of those here that he would say is unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And thinking through at that point, 8, 9, 10 years on the field and just thinking, wait, I can see the deficiency of having other guys that I walk in the light with. Mm-hmm. And part of that too is like, if you've grown up in the church, accountability was this, like, it kind of had its, even using the word, like, twinged a little bit there, right? From just previous experiences. So I think like for this group, just realizing there's a need for this in my own walk, even just to have other people hold me accountable, because we do, like Paul said, we don't want to be disqualified in what we're called to do.
Yeah, I think for me too, one of the principles that's been most important is that it allows other brothers to speak into my life on a real, genuine, heart-to-heart level. And if I don't have this, then the person who I'm receiving a lot of my guidance from, or the person who's speaking into me the most, is me. Mm. And so then that's just like feedback loop again and again. And I'm always right. And I'm always encouraging myself in the way that I'm right. And so I need brothers to point out that's actually wrong.
Yeah.
Or to encourage me if I'm struggling through an area that they can say, Brother, that's actually, you're doing exactly the right thing. And so don't second guess yourself on that, or somebody that can deliver some words of correction as well. So it's been super helpful for me in that area.
Yeah. I think some of what I've realized, Will, you mentioned it as well, is that, you know, had not really had that up to that point in your career. That had been the case for me as well. I had had an accountability partner, but we had never lived in the same city together. And, you know, we were at the very beginning of our training. When you go out to the field, you're encouraged, hey, find an accountability partner, because that's so important. Mm-hmm. And it is. But I think also recognizing there's limited effectiveness if it's just always remote. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of particularities, I think, that, and really, I think it's just the gracious gift of the Lord that he allowed us to be here in the same city at the same time, to be connected to one another. Even some uniqueness there, I think, in terms of we're all in the same life stage. We're all like within a year of the same age. So a lot of overlapping worldview, a lot of things that shared kind of background, kids are similar ages, all those kinds of things that not everybody has. And so I do recognize that there's some uniqueness there, but it's just been an incredible benefit to me. Like I said, 20 something years on the field, getting close to 20. And these last three, I think this has served a very unique need in my own life. Like you said, just allowing, opening things up and allowing others in to be able to speak into, to correct, to encourage, and really to be known. Because I do think there's a tendency for people on the field to become isolated, to really become isolated / self-sufficient / somewhat mistrusting, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit, about how we kind of turn the key on that as well, to open up trust with each other. But to me, as I look at a career of seeing people leave the field for a variety of reasons, some very justified, but some that probably didn't need to be the case. And whether that was moral failure or really just becoming discouraged, kind of burnt out and left, I think that this type of community, this depth of community, is really vital to see people continue lasting and being fruitful and effective on the field. As you guys think about that, speak to that a little bit. Why is this conversation urgent? Why do you think it's important? Why would you say to other coworkers, hey, you need to find this kind of community?
I've been doing small group discipleship I'd been doing it for years before I came onto the field in ministry places back in the U.S. And I used to always encourage other brothers in ministry to also be involved in it, simply for the sake of it's preventative, honestly, in that, just like you said, moral failure or a guy serving in isolation. Mm-hmm. And nobody really kind of knows what's going on in his private life or like behind the scenes kind of things. And so I think if you go back and you talk to these guys and it's happening every week, then another guy falls and drops out. If you go to them and you were just to simply ask, hey, were you in a small group with guys who you had to look at in the eye every week and have to talk about what's going on in your heart and in your life? Did you have anything like that? Mm-hmm. I don't have a research.
Just make something
this up.
Yeah. Make something up.
I don't have any research on this.
87%.
I would imagine that it's really high of guys that they had nothing like this. Mm-hmm. And I think that it helps for a guy not to drift into that area. Mm-hmm. I think that it kind of keeps you away from that danger. And it keeps you exposed. Mm. It keeps you transparent.
Yeah.
And I know that like our flesh wants the opposite of that. Really encourages us to stay isolated, to stay covered up, to stay in the shadow.
Yeah.
And so I know that all kinds of gross stuff grows there in the shadows.
That's right.
So, yeah.
What did you say?
I don't remember the question.
Why? Why is this urgent? That to be in a community like this for our coworkers, what would you say?
It's urgent, I think, because it's how we're wired, right? I mean, you look through the scriptures, look at the life of Jesus and Paul, it's all about, they're all doing things together in community. And I think it's really hard to walk in the light by yourself because as Jacob has named our group from the beginning, calls us scumbags, right? Just remembering that, as we've talked through the many books we've read, you know, even though we have been redeemed and transformed into saints, that scumbag flesh still lives and it's still looking for ways and prowls around to kill and destroy. And so I'm not strong enough to walk in the light on my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that many people are.
Yeah.
But when you put someone onto the field,
mm-hmm.
and there's, whether it's internal voices, organizational pressures of trying to maintain this personality, this attitude, this identity,
yeah,
where your identity can flow so much into your work and the pressures that come with that, not to mention the stress of living cross-culturally,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we're on enemy territory.
Mm.
And so the target is wide. You just can't, from own experience, you can't survive that.
Yeah.
For a long term. You can do it for a short term.
Mm-hmm.
You can sustain yourself for a while, but if this is a calling that is viewed as a long-term thing,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's sustainable without some sort of like community that you're walking in like. And I think this group has been helpful because, like, not only are we same stage of life, we're also same language, same culture.
Mm.
And so we're able to go deep without the language being a barrier,
mm-hmm.
or even cross-culturally where there can be some challenges to that.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a good word. I think that's a key you mentioned about we're all working in the same organization. There are some tendencies, I think, in this line of work, regardless of your organization, to identify yourself with how you perform. And that is something that we have had to work at in this group, I think, to push through.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our organization from day one, they says you should be in accountability. You should be seeking that out. I think these types of things, at least notionally, they're saying, yeah, you need to be find community where you are walking in the light. But I think we all recognize as well, in practice, that can be pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're really trying to do, what we have to build is trust. Mm-hmm. To where this community can be open enough to know that when you say something, this will actually be a safe place. So Jacob, you kind of described it well earlier as we were talking about that. I think there was a turning point even in this group,
mm-hmm.
when we made that leap.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's just some background for the listener. At the time we started, I was organizationally the leader of both of these guys. And so that is fraught in a situation like this, that's just kind of fraught with all kinds of expectations or fears, because we do have organizational policies on, hey, these behaviors are not allowed, mm-hmm. or kind of one strike and you're out types of things, or at least thinking this in the back of our mind. So we had to cultivate that of, yes, even as your on paper supervisor, we're still going to be able to have the level of openness, authenticity, exposure that would really make this group worthwhile for us and do the things that we're hoping it would do.
Mm-hmm.
So talk through what did that turning point look like for us?
So we were, I can remember very clearly, we were discussing one morning and Jesse was bringing up, you were talking about this desire of just wanting authenticity, just be real, be genuine. I just want somebody, I want that for myself. I want to have community with people that are that way. And he just kind of let that land. And I remember thinking, and then it came out of, are you sure? You want that in theory or do you want that in reality?
Yeah.
Because in my life, I've been in other situations where it was sort of like, it was a one strike and you're out, mm-hmm. Zero tolerance kind of thing. And I've always just felt that in ministry, zero tolerance kind of stuff pushes guys to just be secretive and or just to lie.
Yeah.
So we began that morning really talking about what that would look like. And I think we discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed about it for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came back together, when we started talking about it again, it was who's willing to step in. And we all agreed together that we were willing to do that with each other. That, and probably a little bit scary too,
mm-hmm.
of like, okay, we're saying that we'll do this, mm-hmm. with each other. We're saying that we'll be honest and open and there's not going to be an axe at my neck.
Yep.
But, and I think probably you even lit,
mm-hmm.
you even first kind of like opened up about some stuff. And that to me signaled, mm-hmm. of like, okay, he is being for real.
Yeah.
And man, I think that our group, we changed that week.
Yeah.
We went from being like, I think we really went from being name drop coworkers to.
That's trademarked, by the way. Don't touch it.
We went from that to being like for real brothers on the field. And that has only grown and intensified, I think, over the past 3 years.
Yeah. I think that was a pivotal change. Mm-hmm. That was just that process that you described when we really said, hey, we are going to commit to this. And we had to come to an internal sort of understanding and agreement that, I mean, in some ways, there are organizational expectations put upon us that we are, at least, we're going to kind of draw a circle around this group and be able to say, this is a safe place where we're able to expose those things and walk in the light together and then trust to wisdom and prudence for any next steps that might need to happen. But we wanted to protect kind of the sanctuary that this would provide in terms of us being able to walk in the light together. And like you said, that's only grown since then because it still took time. And I would point out as well, I think from the leader's seat, because at that time, again, being in kind of the direct supervision line of both of you, I think it was important that I let out in that first to signal to you guys that, okay, this is going to be the way that it's set. I think it's hard to do that. You know, for right or wrong, we have an organizational structure and it does mean things on the field. I think it's just difficult to work that the opposite way, kind of toward your supervisor as opposed to from the supervisor or leader the other way.
Yeah. Right?
I think too, the uniqueness of this is we had all known each other for a couple years. Families interacting, even had gone through some conversations, right? We'd worked through some things before we got to this point. So when we walked into the group, there was already some familiarity that allowed us to meet together as opposed to walking in just completely blind. But that also, I think, was why some of the walls were up, right? Because we didn't know each other and there was, okay, well, what are they going to think? But I don't, you bring that up, I forget that during that season, there were supervision lines, right? I think we've gotten to the point now, that doesn't even cross my mind. Maybe it should. I don't know. But like it, it hasn't crossed my mind.
Yeah, we'd have to talk about that later.
Yeah. Does it still right now? I don't know. It changes so much.
It doesn't actually anymore.
I'm actually your supervisor.
Yeah. But I do think too, just providentially, the books that we were choosing to read and scripture we were memorizing, it seemed like the Lord definitely orchestrated that to even soften some of those walls so that when it was time to break down, you know, whether it was, I don't know, was it Gentle and Lowly or one of those books that we were reading early where it was forcing us to kind of like heart check, self-assess type stuff, which allowed, I think, us to be, okay, are we willing then to not only let the Lord in, but why wouldn't let these guys in to know? But I think for me, a lot of it for me was Jacob, just saying like, no, I am a scumbag and you're a scumbag. And so it's okay to be scumbags in this group because that's who you were. But the big change was, not only that, we lived in that for a while, right? But I think then when we made that change of, no, we were that, but now we actually have this new identity. And for me, that was a key, like even just renaming our group, right? Just being silly, but no, this is who we are. So how do we help each other not talk about all the junk that's going on? We can, then we do. But man, here's how the Lord is refining me. And man, this scripture we memorized this week, it helped me to win this battle in my mind. It helped me to do something this week. It transformed me in this way. Like that's also been encouraging, right? Whereas to me, accountability group, to our conversation before was, okay, lay out all your junk. Man, you are a scumbag. You should repent and move forward. Whereas I think we've got to the point now in this group that it's not about just tell me what you've done bad.
But
man, what is the Lord doing in your life? And how do we walk with you in that? I think that's been the biggest difference that we've seen in this group as opposed to maybe other groups of guys that meet together.
I think that was probably the second significant shift in our group. You know, the first one being, hey, we are going to open this up. And the second one being, I think, just exactly what you said, Will J., just describing that turn from, because that is, I mean, that was the name of our group, the Scumbags, right? Coined by our brother here, whose philosophy of life was, hey, you're a scumbag. Everybody's a scumbag, right? So that's what we started with. And again, that's true. But as we started to work through that, and I think this was a result even of walking in the light together, recognizing that we were like sitting in that Mm-hmm. That we were allowing that maybe even to dominate. And I think to the point you made earlier, Jacob, we were seeing this as more preventative than anything else. Whereas whatever it was that kind of triggered that second shift, it became, hey, this isn't just preventative and we're not just scumbags, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we tagged on then to our yeah. group here, Scumbags and Saints, where it's not just preventative, but it's also constructive, where we've raised our expectations mm-hmm. of who we could be mm-hmm. instead of saying, man, we're scumbags. We need this so badly. We need to walk in the light because otherwise we'd be a wreck, which is true. But also like, man, this could come out of this. This is the fruit that could come from this right. of us walking together.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was that shifting of the thinking of I'm just a sinner saved by grace mm-hmm. and then just eliminating the just out of there. That you are a sinner saved by grace, but now we're his workmanship created for good works.
Yeah,
but this is ultimately what he wants. He doesn't, we were, I think, too much emphasizing old identity.
Mm-hmm.
And not emphasizing new identity enough. And so I remember when we made that shift mm-hmm. and you just said like, you need to trust that the Holy Spirit can actually mm-hmm. change you, mm-hmm. that he can actually change these things inside of you mm-hmm. and then really have expectation in your heart that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I remember leaving that morning and saying to the Lord of like, I want to be honest with you about that, that mm-hmm. I want to give you that freedom and that place in my life
mm-hmm.
to say that you can change
yeah.
this heart of mine into something different. So yeah.
Quick, another name drop that actually came from Giglio's book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table, this bright yellow book I've got sitting here. Mm-hmm. It was a section of one of the chapters of that book where he talked about it. And so I think like as our group has evolved, we have found that we tried like a book on leadership or a book on something that was not mission strategy, but maybe just kind of like personal growth in that world. That didn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that we've really, you talk about that this is a circle, but I think we have as much as we can, missiology and what's going on in organization, denominations, mm-hmm. like, and those books and articles, we keep those out of the circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most of our books have been, you know, things on spiritual warfare, heart issues,
mm-hmm.
knowing the Lord, walking mm-hmm. with the Lord. And I think that's been something too, that's been encouraging because maybe that's not our first place to go when mm-hmm. we want to spend our time reading.
Yeah.
But you know, how to the structure of the group,
mm-hmm.
if we don't talk about it that week, it's fine. But like, the book and the verses really have been what's been feeding our weekly conversation and asking questions. And so I think that's been something that's been a key too, is mm-hmm. not just like, hey, so how's it going? How's it going?
But, right.
but there are weeks, right, where we don't touch the verses, we mm-hmm. don't touch the book because, hey, I've got something, I need your guys' help.
Yeah.
And if that takes the whole hour and a half, 2 hours, that's great. That's what it's here for. But sometimes how just a chapter or a paragraph of the book,
mm-hmm.
it gets thrown out and then that begins a conversation. And so I think that was something I would suggest to those listening. If mm-hmm. you want to start this, like maybe you put a list of the books we've chosen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Or whatever, but
could do that.
Just
these are the books, by the way, which Will J always hates for the first like
two chapters
or so. He's hated every book for the first two chapters. And then by the end of it, loves it after he goes back through and rereads it and then discusses it with us, right?
It's okay. That's just how it is. Just start on chapter 3. But like, I think that's one way it's evolved too, is early on it was, maybe there was a little more structure. Okay, let's do this. And so just for others that are thinking about starting, we had to just find a groove and a rhythm.
Yeah.
And so maybe early on it was a little more structured, you know, talking about the books as we kind of feeling each other out. How are we going to do this? What's it going to be like? But I think it's been neat to watch it change and evolve along the way.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's some constant tending that goes on as well, because we've noticed even over the past couple of weeks that we have been running a little loose, that we've gone maybe a little too far. Because while we do, I think you're right, we do draw a pretty strong circle around what is the topic of the books that we're going to discuss. A lot of times in our discussion, the other stuff does come crowding in, right? I mean, we're coming up on summertime, and that normally means that we're looking at church politics back in the States, what's going on, because there's a big meeting that happens in June. So that'll come up. But I do think it's been important that the topics that we have centered on the heart, we focused on the heart, not on the work. We have tried to, I think, kind of keep that out as much as possible and just focus on our hearts, focus on our families, focus on our own walk with the Lord, because that is that's the need, right? Otherwise, we do just tend to talk about work or
sports. Which is the whole reason we started this group was to not do that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. So what would you guys say to young people either coming out or have just arrived to the field who are looking for this kind of fellowship, a community to walk in the light together? They hit on some things already, but what would you say to them?
I think maybe just one word of warning is don't expect this from everybody. Like, not everybody's going to be super enthusiastic about this idea, especially what we're presenting and what we're talking about. Mm. Because being super real with people is sometimes it's real scary.
Yeah.
And to let other people really know who you are. Mm. And so it might be a little bit naive to think that as soon as you hit the field, you'll just jump right in with somebody. And I think your encouragement earlier of leader, letting them lead in this area. And so if you're a leader of a team or a leader of a ministry or something like that, I think we're more talking toward you to really challenge that brother or that sister and having a heart for this and to bring others into that. If you're just coming onto the field and you're going to talk to your team leader who's got 10 plus years on the field and you're like, hey, here's what I think we should do. I'm going to tell you all of the stuff that goes on in my heart and mind. And why don't you share with me all the stuff that's going on in your heart and mind? They're probably not going to be super open to that conversation at first. So it may have to take a little bit of time for you to get there.
Send them a link to this podcast.
Yeah.
They'll be convinced afterwards, right?
For sure. But I would seek community for sure.
Yeah.
And whatever means. Mm-hmm. If you're serving in a place where you don't have the same luxury that we have, and it's a luxury to be able to have this many teammates living in close proximity and seeing each other so much. If you don't have that luxury, then that doesn't mean that this is off the table for you. That's there would still be opportunity for you to do stuff online or anything like that. So I would seek out community, and then I would say be kind of patient with how deep you go and just kind of maybe let that just form.
Yeah.
And not like, hey, we're going straight to the bottom week one.
Putting it all out there.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's right.
So yeah, that would be my encouragement.
That's good.
Maybe time defining at first, if you guys would challenge on that. In the sense, I mean, like, give it time and work at it. But I think it's also okay. And maybe we never really discussed this, I don't think, but at some point, you know, maybe there was like, what if this didn't work? I don't know if we didn't talk about that. Now, part of even this lifestyle with people coming and going, furloughs and statesides, like they're just kind of natural ways that things can come and go. But, you know, I think for us, I know for me, when I was on our stateside time, like I missed this.
Yeah.
And I do think it affected even my walk and my attitude, my heart, not being able to have a group of guys to try. And so that's another challenge even is like, what do you do when you transition to a new city or you transition back to the States for 3, 4, 5 months? How do you prepare yourself for that?
That's right.
I think too, there's also,
and we did commission one of our founding scumbags to another city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was a part of this group. And
that's right.
Yep.
Scott, I know you're going to listen to this, so we miss you, bro.
I would say too, to your listeners, just knowing generational differences, we're not young anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we're the old people on the field.
We are.
And so I hear two different things from the younger generation is one, this is like a normal part of our lifestyle is they want to go deep. Mm. But I also hear that younger generation, they only message back and forth. They don't actually have face-to-face time. I can't figure how that works. So maybe that's a different podcast. But so for those of us who, like to your point, if you've been on the field for a while and you haven't had this, maybe it's awkward thinking that this person's 15 years younger than I am. Mm-hmm. You know, how am I supposed to open up to them? Just do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, to say, well, they're not my age, so therefore I can't have this. I think that would be silly. Try it. But I think for the young workers, you probably feel like you don't need it because you're coming out and get that. The zeal is there.
Young and eager.
Yeah. And so you're ready to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me this younger generation maybe is even looking for this, which is some of the problems we face on the field, right? They want teaming and they want community. So I think just pursue it and ask.
Yeah.
And keep asking until someone says yes.
Mm-hmm. It's good. And I think even to the point, it's been made several times now, there is a uniqueness, I think, to this particular group, that we're all in the same organization, similar backgrounds, similar ages, all those things. So I don't want to discourage a listener who's like, well, I don't have any of that stuff. There's nobody around me who's of a similar background to me. Nobody around me who's a similar age. Nobody else maybe in my organization who's in close proximity or who seems like they would be open to this. So what would you say to folks who find themselves in that situation?
I mean, it is a blessing. Urban ministry provides opportunities, but...
Opportunities of us, you mean being
together.
Together, right?
But still,
not traveling out like we did in our previous works a lot.
But we still commit.
Yeah.
That, you know, unless something crazy or one of us is out of town, we're getting up early mm-hmm. and we're going to meet together. Mm-hmm. Like it's on the calendar.
Yeah.
And so I think the things that we value, we will put on our calendar and we'll figure a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you know what? There's no one near me. He's the closest potential guy 6 hours away. Mm. Well, would you be willing once a month to meet up? I know it's a lot. It'd be a long drive. It's a long day. But things that we value, we'll put time toward. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to those that don't have this luxury of being in the same city or travel a lot, or maybe there's a lot of coworkers in your city, but you never see each other, is if it's something you value, put it on the calendar.
Yeah.
And my goodness, we have Zoom, we have iMessage, FaceTime. Mm-hmm. So while those are not the same as in person, better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just co-sign that.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I would just encourage you all as well, don't give up on, there are cities and places where there's other Great Commission Christians. I've heard of other groups like this that actually work better. They feel like it works better because none of the people in the group are in the same organization. Hmm. So they never had to have that conversation about, hey, you know, this is like a reportable offense, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so they feel a greater degree of freedom. That's something to look at. If you're in an environment where there are other Great Commission Christians, even if there's other people from your organization, you may lean more that way. And I think that could be a good way to do it, as long as y'all are of one heart and one mind around that. I think also an important thing is not to give up on this level of relationship happening with national partners as well. I mean, ideally, actually, we're getting to the point where we could do this. And I think we would probably all say there are national relationships that do operate at this depth. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just haven't committed to do a group like this because we have this, mm-hmm. right? But I think you can very much pursue those. Now, again, we probably have the advantage of being able to do some of those in heart language with some of our national partners. If you are truly in a situation where the only options are in the language that you're learning, that can be really difficult. And that was the first 2/3 of my missionary career would have been that when it comes to national partners. So we recognize that there are some places where that's challenging. But again, to come back to the core point is that we all need to be walking in the light and having this fellowship with each other. And yes, maybe while Zoom isn't ideal, if this is important to us, and I think hopefully you're convinced by now that it is, that you'll take whatever step you need to make this level of fellowship happen mm-hmm. and to really walk so that you are walking in the light, you are exposing the things of your heart, and other people are knowing you and can speak into that. I think I've appreciated so much the times when we have had, and it's not been like tension-free, right? We've had some disagreements. Sure. We've had some kind of high-tension moments, even in our meetings together. We've had some fairly strong rebuke mm-hmm. of one another. And in the midst of that, the tendency might be to withdraw or maybe to say, okay, I learned the lesson. Now I'm going to not share as much next time. And I've just appreciated, I think you described it this way, Jacob, one time, of what we're continuing to cultivate. And it's not like also we described those two turning points. We've not just sort of arrived. I think we also have to cultivate that. We can't just allow ourselves to become comfortable to say, oh, we've reached this level of exposure. We're good with each other. There's a level of security here. I think we have to be constantly doing that because other things come up and we have to trust, okay, this thing also I can bring into the light. Because the way that you described it one time was I need to be able to be free to come to this meeting and put all the junk on the table. And me putting it on the table is not necessarily saying, okay, you automatically, you see it on the table and you start going after that thing. No, the agreement is we sort through this together. You help me pick through what's the good, what's the bad, what do I need to change? But we have to have the freedom in order to get there to do that, practice that together. We have to feel the freedom to put all the junk on the table and just say it like it is. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have really cultivated that and continue to cultivate it. But just to say that when you come in and you're sharing those things, to not make people feel like, well, you should be feeling a different way than you are. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the end result of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, it's like, right now, you're not at fault for feeling the way that you do. Mm-hmm. But you can just put it out there and we'll help you like sort through that. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, the benefit of reminding ourselves, yeah, we are scumbags. Mm-hmm. And we're not surprised by the scumbagginess that comes out mm-hmm. when we start saying stuff, right? But then to take the further step of that to say, okay, let's sort through this. Let's try to put aside those things of the flesh and encourage each other to pursue the spirit together mm-hmm. and this new life, this higher life together. Right.
And I think that one of the things that has been so helpful, beneficial for us has been what we've grown in is that I can trust that Will, he really does want the best for me. Mm. You really want the best. Yep. And we want that for each other. Mm. And so when Will does have to say stuff that hurts me, mm-hmm. like if that hurt for him to pull that out or for him to call me on that, that he's not trying to hurt mm-hmm. me for the sake of hurting me.
Yeah.
There's a proverb that wounds from a friend are faithful. Mm-hmm. I trust y'all's hearts. Mm-hmm. And so that I know that you have to say something strong to me or I have to say something strong to you, or even when we really disagree over something, mm-hmm. that it's in the end that there's a trust that has been born from this.
Yeah.
That I think you've said it several times here, but this is rare. It's mm-hmm. rare. But it's not exclusive. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're encouraging is that this can be achieved in other places. And we're praying and wanting God to see that. I mean, we've already been advocates for this here mm-hmm. in our city.
Yeah.
And wanting and encouraging other coworkers around us to be in groups like this and what I'm hearing from other groups of guys there, of course, it's not nearly as good as us.
I mean,
how could it ever be?
Right.
How could it ever be?
Right. Without question.
But those other guys,
they're trying.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's, they're doing pretty good. So when I think about it, I would love for this ethos to go out throughout our whole affinity and even into others as well that there are practitioners on the field that recognize the value mm-hmm. of this and that would be multiplied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think even to extend that as well with our national brothers and sisters labor alongside of.
Absolutely.
Because this isn't just rare on the field. This is, let's be honest, we've all been in ministry leadership in the States. This is rare in the States mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. that you would find this level of security, trust, but also openness and exposure along the way. And like, this is for everybody. Mm-hmm. This is what it should be. So wherever you are in the process of going to the field or not going to the field, sending, supporting, leading in the States, this is a key thing. Mm-hmm. You talked about it every week, man. We're hearing about more and more people falling away, whether that's from a leadership position, whether that's deconstruction, mm-hmm. all those things. I think it's because people don't have community like this. They're mm-hmm. not able to walk in the light and trust that the people that they're sharing with care about them and love them enough to correct them when needed and then to just encourage them along the way mm-hmm. in their growth towards Christ. Yeah. Well, lest anybody think that, you know, this is all just like hunky-dory, we're all so like each other that this is just an easy thing. I mean, I think we need to point out that we are pretty different guys as well. I mean, we've got a hardcore Duke fan. He's fully repping Duke today as he loves to do. Mm-hmm. And we also have a pretty hardcore Clemson fan.
That's right.
Who loves to wear his Tiger gear.
That's right.
So Absolutely. Somehow... in this world, we've been able to bring these guys together
to
share with each other.
Some of us are reformed and some of us aren't.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This is a pretty diverse group if you think about it.
You're reformed?
You didn't know?
Oh my gosh.
We haven't read that book yet. That's it.
We haven't finished Knowing God yet enough to let you know that.
All right, guys. I appreciate the time, brothers. Thanks for agreeing to do this. Mm-hmm. We, like we talked about before, just praying that this would be an encouragement and a spur to our co-laborers around the world, just brothers and sisters around the world, that this is walking in the light does bring fellowship with each other. And that's God's desire for us, that mm-hmm. we can pursue him together, spur one another on towards that. And at the very least, be kind of that safeguard to each other as we're pursuing the things that he has for us. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.